The Donald took on incompetence, corruption, and evil in his speech, and some are calling his oration close to a masterpiece, although a very long one. He was at turns touching, riveting, demanding, scornful, and accusatory, but the Donald was also attempting to assemble a constituency of hurt and disillusioned Americans. In fact, his statements were reminiscent to me of when Cedric Cornbread Maxwell told his Boston Celtic teammates in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, "Climb on my back, boys." And Cedric Maxwell actually scored 24 points and helped lead him to victory. So it kind of reminded me of an attempt at real leadership. But in any event, the convention overall was episodically dramatic, boring, and raging. Think of Cruz for a moment. Touching and postmodern, even. Who would have thought a gay man endorsing a Republican at the highest levels? Was this correct? Well, friends, let's recall a political party is not a church and must attempt to accommodate anyone traveling in the same direction. Trump's speech highlighted the many, many problems in the U.S. that the Democrats have no answers for, or further, seem to be creating or making worse for their own benefit. How will Hillary respond? Undoubtedly with her harsh, mechanical, hectoring, manly, truck driver after a meth binge voice, reminiscent of a terrifying robot gone rogue. Sit back, my friends. This campaign is one of the richest in American history in terms of pathos, intrigue, drama, sea changes, and unpredictability. Make sure you miss nothing in your future. Generations will rise up and bless you for your testimony. Good morning. And by the way, on Blog Talk Radio, I do have a link to the speech. If you're looking for it, you can go to Blog Talk, Kelly O'Connell, and you'll find today's titled Trump Speech Masterpiece. And I don't know if it was a masterpiece, but I do know that he put a lot of things in there that people were dying to hear. Now, it's too long to play the whole thing over 2 hours, and I wouldn't want to do that anyway. But what I think that I'm going to do is play parts of it, of course, and some of the other speeches and get a dialogue going. Do you think it was an effective speech? 5-2-3-14-50. Would listening to that speech make you more like to vote for the Donald? Do you think what he pointed out was fair? Beyond that, do you believe that his answers are reasonable? And, you know, is he the person that can bring us together? So let me play for you. There's a lot of highlights from the night, but let me play for you some of the opening from his daughter, Ivanka.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a very warm welcome to Ivanka Trump.
Ivanka Trump introduced her father, so immediately before his speech.
Good evening. Thank you. 1 year ago, I introduced my father when he declared his candidacy. In his own way and through his own sheer force of will, he sacrificed greatly to enter the political arena as an outsider. And he prevailed against a field of 16 very talented competitors. For more than a year, Donald Trump has been the people's champion. And tonight, he is the people's nominee. Like many of my fellow millennials, I do not consider myself categorically Republican or Democrat. More than party affiliation, I vote based on what I believe is right for my family and for my country. Sometimes it's a tough choice. That is not the case this time. As the proud daughter of your nominee, I am here to tell you that this is the moment and Donald Trump is the person to make America great again. Real change, the kind we have not seen in decades, is only going to come from outside the system. And it's only going to come from a man who has spent his entire life doing what others said could not be done. My father is a fighter. When the primaries got tough, and they were tough, he did what any great leader does. He dug deeper, worked harder, got better, and became stronger. I have seen him fight for his family. I have seen him fight for his employees. I have seen him fight for his company. And now I am seeing him fight for our country. It's been the story of his life, and more recently, the spirit of his campaign. It's also a prelude to reaching the goal that unites us all, when this party, and better still, this country, knows what it is like to win again. If it's possible to be famous and yet not really well known, that describes the father who raised me. In the same office in Trump Tower where we now work together, I remember playing on the floor by my father's desk, constructing miniature buildings with Legos and erector sets, while he did the same with concrete, steel, and glass. My father taught my siblings and me the importance of positive values and a strong ethical compass. He showed us how to be resilient, how to deal with challenges, and how to strive for excellence in all that we do. He taught us that there is nothing we cannot accomplish if we marry vision and passion with an enduring work ethic. One of my father's greatest talents is his ability to see potential in people before they see it in themselves. It was like that for us too growing up. He taught us that potential vanishes into nothing without effort, and that like him, we each had a responsibility to work not just for ourselves, but for the betterment of the world around us. Over the years, on too many occasions to count, I saw my father tear stories out of the newspaper about people whom he had never met who were facing some injustice or hardship. He'd write a note to his assistant in a signature black felt-tip pen and request that the person be found and invited to Trump Tower to meet with him. He would talk to them and then draw upon his extensive network to find them a job or get them a break. And they would leave his office, as people so often do after having been with Donald Trump, feeling that life could be great again. Throughout my entire life, I have witnessed his empathy and generosity towards others, especially those who are suffering. It is just his way of being in your corner when you're down. My father not only has the strength and ability necessary to be our next president, but also the kindness and compassion that will enable him to be the leader that this country needs.
You know, somebody had made a joke about he couldn't win just on his family's backing, but I'm not so sure about that. I mean, most people's family probably wouldn't give five seconds to help them do anything these days, and this guy has got a family that's very articulate. They're well presented. They seem like they're all employed and they're all working in the family business, and they've all got a similar attitude. They have a lot of respect for the Donald, and they also have that kind of, you get that same feeling, that kind of a can-do family. So let's take a little break here, and I'll come back and we'll finish up the very end of her speech and then go into Donald's. And what I'm going to try to do is give some of Donald's speech and then break it up with some other stuff so that it doesn't get too boring. 6:16, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. You're listening to 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805 I'm not sure if I have the text machine with me, but anyway, I'll go out in the vehicle and look for it. But 523-1450. Remember, when you call in, if I'm playing a clip, I can't hear you very well. You won't be able to hear me very well. And so what I'll do is if you call in and you find out that you're on hold, it's because I put you on hold so I could bring you back for a break so you can make your comments. Anyway, 616, 617 on the button. We will be right back to carry on with the last night of the GOP convention. All right, so one of the things that I was trying to get a feel for was the reaction, by the way, before I play the end of Ivanka's, I wanted to get a reaction from people who saw Cruz's refusal to endorse Donald Trump. And if I was surprised that there was criticism that was equal in its fervor from both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats saying this is just totally ridiculous and it shows very poorly about Ted Cruz, and that both sides, I heard people on both sides say he's committed political suicide. And so I was looking for the reason that he refused to endorse Trump. And what I was looking for was something consistent with his beliefs and his purpose. And if he felt like he was called by God, then he should, in my opinion, get up and say, you know, I prayed about this and didn't feel any peace, or I, you know, this guy's not consistent with my understanding what politics is about, or, you know, it's not just the Constitution, it's whatever, you know, whatever the guy's going to say. What I found is his reasoning was, I'm not going to endorse someone who slanders my wife and attacks my dad. Nobody who treats my family that way. And I'm thinking, you know, this suddenly seems like a vanity campaign for Ted Cruz, that he didn't have what it took. Now, in going through what we've just been through up to the convention, I am amazed at how many people were not just basically whipped by Trump, which shouldn't have happened based on the idea that he's not a professional politician, he doesn't know the game, and these people have spent their entire lives. It not only shouldn't have happened, but I was surprised at these people that you would think would be prepared for anything actually ended up getting sidetracked and derailed. And basically, I mean, I think that Trump has put people, whether he meant to or not, he put them out of the game permanently. You look at Jeb Bush now, the way he sits in a chair, it looks like his spine was removed, and the way he talks, and he's still caught up in this is not the, you know, my family will not accept, and I do not accept that this is what kind of a country we have. And Marco Rubio not showing up is a bad move, in my opinion, even though he's still running for the Senate. Marco Rubio seems like he's kind of lost. You know, like he's still trying to figure out what his life's about. But Ted Cruz, I think, to me, is Kasich does not have a future in national politics, in my opinion. It doesn't really matter. But he was stupid not to come to his own convention in his own state. That looks ridiculous. But Ted Cruz and all of these guys broke their word that they were going to sign this pledge. It makes them all look smaller, egotistical, bruised, caught up in minutia when the country is trying to move on and recover from Obama and could use their help. And so I think Cruz is the most surprising because he claimed to be on a divine mandate. Now, when I hear him say it's about my wife and my dad, then I say to myself, this guy was on an ego trip because it's all about him. It's all about how he feels. Do you really think that God told him don't endorse Trump because he insulted your claimed or seemed to take part in claiming your dad assassinated JFK or said something mean about your wife? That's absurd. We have a call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, this is Marty.
Hey, Marty, good to hear you. And what's on your mind?
As you know, I was an early Cruz supporter.
Yeah.
With Trump in there, I expressed to you before, I'm going to go ahead and vote for Trump. But just two things for you, sir.
Sure.
In 1976, Mr. Reagan did not endorse Ford.
Yeah.
And so,
Marty,
from that. I'm
Marty,
sorry.
Marty, ahead. No, let me just ask you, because I know you're going to go into your second point, and I want to deal with this first. Did Reagan get up and say this guy dented my car and then refused to pay for it? Or we were golfing and he didn't pay his tab. And he made a dirty joke about my wife's rear end. I mean, Reagan was so far beyond that. You know that, Marty.
Yeah. He was my governor back then, or right before then. He was out by then, and unfortunately, Jerry Brown was in.
Yeah, but he's the role model, right? I mean, he's the guy
yes,
that
sir.
can that can take any crop of lemonade lemons and turn it into lemonade.
Yeah, he was. I had him for 8 years as a governor and then 8 years as a president.
Yeah.
And I was a whacked out liberal back then. I was at UC Santa Cruz. I didn't vote for him in 1980. I'm still sorry for it.
Well, he got in. He didn't need your help on that vote. So what is your second point?
Oh, I was listening to Mark Levin's show yesterday, and he simply said, any man out there, you know, in Levin style, any man out there would not have endorsed Trump after what he said about his wife and about his father.
Give me a break.
Very emphatic.
You know, Trump didn't say anything. All he did was tweeted on this picture of somebody that kind of looked like Trump's dad may have looked 50 years ago. Anyway, Marty, look, if we want a Reagan, and that's what we're all hoping for, is somebody. I mean, Reagan summed up so many wonderful qualities. Number one, a guy that was never petty. Number two, somebody who had a vision. Uh-huh. He had a vision. Everything he did was part of this vision. He was building something bigger. Number three, he liked people. You knew if you ran into him and said, "Hi, President, I'm a huge fan of yours," he'd tell you a little joke and say thanks for the support. He wouldn't get all he wouldn't pull a diva move. And he loved his country so much. Even when it took him taking the abuse of, "Oh, you're stupid," or "You're just a movie star," or "You've got Alzheimer's," whatever the attacks were on him, he never let any of that. He was a true leader. He never let any of that affect him. He went on to the higher purpose, and he went. Now he's probably top four president.
Yeah, top five anyway. He's, for me and my generation, I think in the 20th century, he was the best.
Yeah, and I mean, he made you not only proud to be an American, but he made you more confident, and you had some sense that the government was trying to be put in line. It was he was kind of slaying the beast, and one of his great quotes, "Government isn't the answer; it's the problem." And so, and now I look at Cruz, and I think. Cruz came too far too fast. He doesn't appreciate what an extraordinary honor and how unlikely it is to make it into the Senate. And number one and number two, it's all about him. And so that's what I wanted to see. If he stood up and said, I have to defend my Constitution, I would have given him a little grudging respect, even though he broke his word. But to get up and say you attacked my family is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take.
Yeah, okay. I know you're running out of time. I've taken a lot of your time, sir, and I appreciate it. Real quickly,
yeah.
Prediction time. I'm really curious. What's your take? You think Trump can take Hillary?
Yeah, he can, but, I mean, I'm one of these people that I'm not a conspiracy person, and there are people out there that will tell you this thing is rigged from the beginning. I don't really believe that, but I do think that there's stuff happening behind the scenes that we don't know. There is collusion,
What Savage said the other day on his program, as you can tell, I enjoy you, talk show host.
Yeah, I love Shit Savage.
It's who counts the votes.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to that. I don't think all of history is part of a conspiracy. I think there's a lot of lucky breaks and dumb mistakes, and then there are people that get a plan and they work it, and somehow it comes out at the end. I mean, just look at Reagan's life. I mean, the guy was, what did he start off as? He was a lifeguard.
Lifeguard in Illinois.
Yeah. And I think he got a football scholarship, and he got into broadcasting, and people liked his personality, and there was something behind the jokes and behind the smile, fortunately for us, but he had a lifelong dream, I guess, to be president, and he worked it and worked it and finally got there, and he changed history.
Mm-hmm. And he was also very much a Democrat, a union Democrat,
right,
in Hollywood, and then he came around to the right after he saw them going communistic.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I trust somebody like that, somebody who's gone, has had his time in the wilderness, and he was out of the out of Hollywood, and he was a spokesman for General Electric. But, you know, he had an economics degree. For some reason, when he was a kid, he wanted to study that, and he wrote his own speeches. He thought through. That's why you couldn't really trip him up, is because he knew where he came from and why he believed what he believed.
Yeah, and Carter was so, in that first debate, or the last debate they had, Carter was so overconfident that he could take this, you know, dumb hick, and Carter was an intellectual nuclear science.
Yeah.
And Reagan demolished him.
Yeah, and I mean, Carter was just totally lost. And I mean, I see a shadow of Carter in Obama. Obama is so lost.
Gosh.
He's so destructive. And to get up a couple of days ago and say, yes, we shouldn't use violence in Black Lives Matter, but the police need to stand up and admit that they've done wrong too. When I heard that, I thought, this guy either just doesn't get it, he's not smart enough, or he doesn't have the goodwill to muster the attempt to see truth, or he's just, you know, he's just a bad person.
That's why I asked your take on a prediction on this election, because I've always been really good at reading elections.
All right, so what's your prediction?
2012.
What's your prediction?
Well, in 2012, don't go with me, because in 2012, I absolutely knew the American people, my beloved American people, would never vote that jackass back in.
Yeah.
He's back in. So don't go with me, but I think Trump's going to take her.
I mean, Trump has something. If this was a football game and he was a wide receiver and Hillary was the defensive back, put it into basic sport terms, I just think that he's got a lot more moves than she does. He's a little bit faster off the, you know, he's, you know, his time in the 40s faster. He hits harder. And he's more of a team player. And I think she is so venal and corrupt, and people see through that now, and they see that that's all that is there, you know?
My Democrat friends have told me, my sister-in-law, my best friend, even my own father, have all told me they're going to vote for Hillary anyway.
Well, I mean, so
everything you just said, they admit that she's a criminal, she's a crook, but they're going to vote for her anyway.
But what are they voting for?
I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. You're right, though. I do got to take a break here, but great call, Marty.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks. All right, folks, let's take a real quick break here. I'm going to skip Cruz. I was starting to feel sick looking at his ugly fish face anyway. And I was doing some research, and when he was in Kansas, somebody came up and said, "You have an ugly fish face. I hate you." Something like that. So anyway, we'll be right back. 6:34, you know how politics are. 523-1450 and 805-6180. Call in, especially if you're convinced Hillary's going to win. Call in and tell us why. We'll be right back. All right, so I've got a – let me get into a little clip here first. And this guy's name is Tom Barak. And he's – I guess he's Palestinian or something. But he's an old friend of Trump's. And he got up to give a speech. And he's kind of spoken about the experiences that he had with Trump, how he became friends decades ago and everything, and the business deals that they've done together. He's the CEO of Colony Capital, but this is what he says now about where we're at.
So look, we're at a tipping point. The world is a mess. This necklace of globalism that we've all talked about has crumbled and shattered into a thousand shards. It needs a jeweler to take each of those jewels one by one, starting with America, its own diamond, and polish it. Then slowly find seamless strength, put them all back together. So what we look at is the necklace of prosperity and tolerance around the world. So we've been on an adventure, and people say, wow, Donald Trump, it's like a missionary tale from businessman, celebrity, father, to potentially president of the United States. And I say to you, it is a tale, but it's up to you, all of you tonight, to unite in one pen, one hand, and make once upon a time, once upon this time.
All right, so here is the end of Ivanka's speech before Donald Trump gives his speech.
The developer in him, but Donald Trump cannot stand to see empty main streets and boarded up factories. He can't bear the injustice of college graduates who are crippled by student debt and mothers who can't afford the cost of the childcare required to return to work to better the lives of their families. Other politicians see these hardships, see the unfairness of it all, and they say, I feel for you. Only my father will say, I'll fight for you. The hardworking men and women of this country identify with my father. He is tough and he is persevering. He is honest and he is real. He's an optimist and he's a relentless believer in America and all of her potential. He loves his family and he loves his country with his heart and his soul. Politicians ask to be judged by their promises, not their results. I ask you to judge my father by his results. Judge his values by those he's instilled in his children. Judge his competency by the towers he's built, the companies he's founded, and the tens of thousands of jobs he's created. He is the single most qualified person to serve as chief executive of an $18 trillion economy. My father will call upon the best and brightest people from all spheres of industry and both sides of the aisle, a new set of thinkers to face our country's existing and future problems with fresh perspective and brave new solutions. Come January 17, all things will be possible again. We can hope and dream and think big again. No one has more faith in the American people than my father. He will be your greatest, your truest, and your most loyal champion. This is the fighter, the doer that you have chosen as your nominee. In ways no one expected, this moment in the life of our country has defined a mission and given it to an extraordinary man. He is ready to see
this
it all
Kelly,
the way through.
This is Kelly, I put you on hold.
To speak to every man and every woman of every background in every part of this great country, to earn your trust and to earn your vote. Here in Zach, a long time ago, I have loved and respected him my entire life, and I could not be more proud tonight to present to you and to all of America my father and our next president,
Donald Trump. All right, so we've got a phone call here, but I thought that was a very effective speech. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jeff again.
Jeff, what's up?
Well, his daughter said something about judging Donald by his accomplishments or philanthropies and all that.
All right.
And then Trump University is now defunct. I mean, that seems like...
Do you know what happened in the Trump University case? I mean, you can hardly pin it on him if we don't know if it's his fault. And the original... I'm not saying he didn't do anything wrong. Maybe he did, but the original plaintiff that put the case together dropped out and the judge wouldn't dismiss it, which is unusual, which is why he said that judge was biased. But anyway, thanks for the call, folks. We got to take a break here. I've got some more ads and some lovely advertisement. We'll come back and get into Trump's speech. I've waited too long. 644 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450. We'll be right back. All right. Without further ado, here is Trump's, the beginning of Trump's speech. This is a 70-minute speech, so I can only do a few highlights.
USA, 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 USA. Who would have believed that when we started this journey on June 16th, last year, we, and I say we, because we are a team, would have received almost 14 million votes, the most in the history of the Republican Party, and that the Republican Party would get 60% more votes than it received 8 years ago. Who would have believed this? Who would have believed this? The Democrats, on the other hand, received 20% fewer votes than they got 4 years ago. Not so good, not so good. Together, we will lead our party back to the White House, and we will lead our country back to safety, prosperity, and peace. We will be a country of generosity and warmth, but we will also be a country of law and order. Our convention occurs at a moment of crisis for our nation. The attacks on our police and the terrorism of our cities threaten our very way of life. Any politician who does not grasp this danger is not fit to lead our country. Americans watching this address tonight have seen the recent images of violence in our streets and the chaos in our communities. Many have witnessed this violence personally. Some have even been its victims. I have a message for all of you. The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, and I mean very soon, come to an end. Beginning on January 20th of 2017, safety will be restored. The most basic duty of government is to defend the lives of its own citizens. Any government that fails to do so is a government unworthy to lead. It is finally time for a straightforward assessment of the state of our nation.
Powerful stuff. As soon as he says the main job of the government is to protect the lives and safety of its citizens, you immediately think of the killings that have gone on around the country, and you think, could the government have stopped that if it was less politically correct? You think about illegals that are not only able to come across the border, but are actually being transported across the United States for free without any background checks. And then some of those people killing Americans. You think of the killings that are overseas Americans, you know, you can't help but think of all this stuff. It is very powerful. We'll take a break here and come back with a little bit more of Trump's speech. All right, here's a little bit more from that speech, the Trump speech. Check it out. Talking about what's wrong with America.
I will present the facts plainly and honestly. We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. So if you want to hear the corporate spin, the carefully crafted lies, and the media myths, the Democrats are holding their convention next week. Go there. But here at our convention, there will be no lies. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else.
All right, we're running out of time here, so we'll pick it up after the break on the hour. But some hard-hitting stuff out there. Hard-hitting stuff on Cruz. And Trump delivers what many people think is a masterpiece of a speech, although longer than just about any speech you'll hear. And Cruz, according to many experts, is finished. He personalized the reason that he rejected the Donald, which means that, isn't that shocking, this guy that comes across as, like, I'm just here to speak about the truth, and he ends up getting caught up. It's almost as if Trump gets involved with these people, and he plays mind games, and he breaks them. And I never thought I'd see that come out of Cruz, but he was an untested person. 659 Kelly O'Connell will take you out with some Sonny Rollins. Jazz Colossus, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be back. More Trump. All right, so I think the best thing to do is for me to play some highlights, because I want to play the speech from the there was a gay guy that got up, Peter Thiel, who's a multi-billionaire, and he's a backer of Trump, and I think you're going to want to hear what he says, but an unapologetic gay Republican, so very notable. I mean, this you know, this candidacy, this campaign is just full of surprises and obviously ups and downs. You think about Melania's speech and the plagiarism claim and everything, but it's kind of nice to hear from a lot of people that are not traditional politicians as well. You know, you get sick of hearing these politicians get up and endorse another politician that they're in the same party of. I mean, it's, you know, it's absolutely, it's just done without any thought mostly. All right. So here, Donald Trump highlights.
I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States. It is finally time for a straightforward assessment of the state of our nation. I will present the facts plainly and honestly. We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. So if you want to hear the corporate spin, the carefully crafted lies, and the media myths, the Democrats are holding their convention next week. Go there. But here at our convention, there will be no lies. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else. Big business, elite media, and major donors are lining up behind the campaign of my opponent because they know she will keep our rigged system in place. They are throwing money at her because they have total control over every single thing she does. She is their puppet, and they pull the strings. America is far less safe, and the world is far less stable than when Obama made the decision to put Hillary Clinton in charge of America's foreign policy. I am certain that it was a decision that President Obama truly regrets. Her bad instincts and her bad judgment, something pointed out by Bernie Sanders, are what caused so many of the disasters unfolding today. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton: death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. But Hillary Clinton's legacy does not have to be America's legacy. The problems we face now, poverty and violence at home, war and destruction abroad, will last only as long as we continue relying on the same politicians who created them in the first place. A change in leadership is required to produce a change in outcomes. In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate. The irresponsible rhetoric of our president, who has used the pulpit of the presidency to divide us by race and color, has made America a more dangerous environment than, frankly, I have ever seen and anybody in this room has ever watched or seen. This administration has failed America's inner cities. Remember, it has failed America's inner cities. It's failed them on education. It's failed them on jobs. It's failed them in crime. It's failed them in every way and on every single level. When I am president, I will work to ensure that all of our kids are treated equally and protected equally. I have visited the laid-off factory workers and the communities crushed by our horrible and unfair trade deals. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I have joined the political arena.
It's Kelly.
So
let
that
me put
the powerful can no longer beat up on people who cannot defend themselves. Nobody knows the system better than me. Which is why I alone can fix it. I have seen firsthand how the system is rigged against our citizens, just like it was rigged against Bernie Sanders. He never had a chance, never had a chance. We are going to be considerate and compassionate to everyone. But my greatest compassion will be for our own struggling citizens. My plan is the exact opposite of the radical and dangerous immigration policy of Hillary Clinton. My opponent asks her supporters to recite a three-word loyalty pledge. It reads, "I'm with her." I choose to recite a different pledge. My pledge reads, "I'm with you, the American people." We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
Powerful stuff. We do have a caller. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. All right. So if you call in and I'm playing a clip, I cannot hear you. You cannot hear me. I will put you on hold immediately. I'll say something like, "This is Kelly. Let me put you on hold." But in any event, that was a pretty effective speech, in my opinion. Although a little bit long. All right, so let's take a break here. I want to come back and play for you the clip from Peter Thiel, who I think that, all right, so this is my theory. Political party is not a church. And I agree 100% across the board that you cannot water down theology to make it more acceptable to liberalism, because that is the foundation for destroying the church. And you've seen it in every church, the beginning of time, that when they become liberal, they lose membership and then they eventually die. And the mainstream Presbyterian church is losing 100,000 people a year who are going to more conservative churches. In other words, churches that are more biblically based, and that body will cease to exist in 20 years on this trajectory. And if your pastor or a participant in church, if your purpose is to die as a entity, become liberal. That is the best way to achieve it. But in any event, a political party is not a church. Now, you want people to come in, and this was this big tent that Reagan put up. He was able to get people from across the aisle to come over and to join the party. And so you're not just bringing people in to vote with you. You're also persuading them on certain issues, because there's a lot of people who lack education or information on particular issues. So you bring those people in, and because they're more sympathetic to you now, they're ready to listen. Because, for instance, if you're a gay person, what party do you suspect will make it easier to be protected or to protect yourself, through the Second Amendment or through the police? The police are being constantly attacked by the president and other members of his party, and they're getting shot down in the streets like dirty dogs. And so which party supports law enforcement better? And which party supports the Second Amendment so gay people can defend themselves? You see what I'm saying? We'll take a break here, and we're going to come back and hear Peter Thiel's speech. We'll be back. Call in if you disagree, 523-1450. That doesn't mean that you would necessarily support something like gay marriage, which is its own unique idea. But I'm saying there could be many gay people that come into the GOP, and they could get converted along the way to various different policies. Anyway, you see what I'm saying. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. All right, so my point being that we've got to, as a party, and I don't even really identify with the GOP, as I've mentioned, for a long time, because they're so terrible and incompetent and corrupt. But if you're going to build a party, you want as many people. You're going in a direction. The more people that you have with you, the more power and persuasion, and the more legislation you can get done, and the more you can resist stupidity and establish your platform. You want as many people to go with you as possible. So the GOP should try to get in as many Muslims that are law and order and anti-jihad as possible, anti-Sharia, which would probably be millions of people in the United States. The GOP should get in as many gays who understand that the basics of government is law and order, as Trump was saying, and also the protection of citizens. Protecting gay people isn't a gay right, it's a human right. So, you know, gay people should come into the party based on human rights, and if they want to fight for you know, other things, they can. They're more than invited to join into a discussion, but expect some strong, you know, resistance at the same time. So anyway, so I think it's a good sign that somebody like Peter Thiel would look at the two candidates and say, Hillary Clinton, you're a complete, you're terrible, you're awful, you're like some sort of a mythological beast. Whereas Donald Trump, maybe I don't agree with him on everything. And it, you know, if you look at Trump, his history, it seems like he's been able to interact with gay people and minorities and women on a very equitable level. And I think that you know, there's different spheres. You don't liberalize your church because you want your church to exist and stand for something and have some spiritual power and authority. You don't try to turn the GOP into a church, but the GOP is, anyway, don't even get me started. Here's Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal, and he's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. He's a billionaire.
Co-founder of PayPal and first investor in Facebook, entrepreneur Peter Thiel.
Good evening. I'm Peter Thiel. I build companies and I support people who are building new things, from social networks to rocket ships. I'm not a politician, but neither is Donald Trump. He is a builder, and it's time to rebuild America. Where I work in Silicon Valley, it's hard to see where America has gone wrong. My industry has made a lot of progress in computers and in software, and of course, it's made a lot of money. But Silicon Valley is a small place. Drive out to Sacramento or even across the bridge to Oakland, and you won't see the same prosperity. That's just how small it is. Across the country, wages are flat. Americans get paid less today than 10 years ago. but health care and college tuition cost more every year. Meanwhile, Wall Street bankers inflate bubbles in everything from government bonds to Hillary Clinton's speaking fees. Our economy is broken. If you're watching me right now, you understand this better than any politician in Washington, D.C. And you know, this isn't the dream we looked forward to. Back when my parents came to America looking for that dream, they found it right here in Cleveland. They brought me here as a one-year-old, and this is where I became an American. Opportunity was everywhere. My dad studied engineering at Case Western Reserve University, just down the road from where we are now. Because in 1968, the world's high-tech capital wasn't just one city. All of America was high-tech. It's hard to remember this, but our government was once high-tech too. When I moved to Cleveland, defense research was laying the foundations for the internet. The Apollo program was just about to put a man on the moon, and it was Neil Armstrong from right here in Ohio. The future felt limitless. But today, our government is broken. Our nuclear bases still use floppy disks. Our newest fighter jets can't even fly in the rain. And it would be kind to say the government software works poorly, because much of the time it doesn't even work at all. That is a staggering decline for the country that completed the Manhattan Project. We don't accept such incompetence in Silicon Valley, and we must not accept it from our government. Instead of going to Mars, we have invaded the Middle East. We don't need to see Hillary Clinton's deleted emails. Her incompetence is in plain sight. She pushed for a war in Libya, and today it's a training ground for ISIS. On this most important issue, Donald Trump is right. It's time to end the era of stupid wars and rebuild our country. When I was a kid, the great debate was about how to defeat the Soviet Union. And we won. Now we are told that the great debate is about who gets to use which bathroom. This is a distraction from our real problem. Who cares? Of course, every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican, but most of all, I am proud to be an American. I don't pretend to agree with every plank in our party's platform, but fake culture wars only distract us from our economic decline. And nobody in this race is being honest about it except Donald Trump. While it is fitting to talk about who we are, today it's even more important to remember where we came from. For me, that is Cleveland, and the bright future it promised. When Donald Trump asks us to make America great again, he's not suggesting a return to the past. He's running to lead us back to that bright future. Tonight, I urge all of my fellow Americans to stand up and vote for Donald Trump. Thank you.
All right. So as you can imagine, that did cause some anxiety and confusion in some Republicans, but the party has got to grow and adapt. You've got gay marriage that is a law from the Supreme Court. That doesn't mean you put aside your personal standards, but like I say, church is one place, the political party is another, and the church can influence the political party, but the Republicans need to bring in as many diverse people as possible and convert them to conservatism, which is small government, lower taxes, pro-business, smaller amounts of red tape, and a strong defense, just basic things that you might associate with libertarianism, which is probably the core, and then convert those people to that. And then, you know, if you have any personal interaction with them, you can try to convert them out of being gay or whatever. But I mean, you know, you don't even have to bring that stuff up. The political party is one arena. The church is another. Your friendships and everything are another. So anyway, I think the GOP needs to grow up a little bit and look at the disaster that the Democratic Party has become. It's a complete hoax. They're trying to kill this country and rebuild it into some sort of a bizarre postmodern apocalyptic world. It's terrible. We all have to join together as many people as we can persuade to fight with us and fight against these. We got to save our way of life for the future, for the world, you know. 732 AM Las Cruces, 523-1450. Just my take, but I'll bet it's more true than what you're going to hear from Hillary. We'll be right back. Okay, if you just tuned in, here's a few more highlights from Trump's speech last night, his acceptance speech, and his roadmap for winning the White House.
We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. America is far less safe, and the world is far less stable than when Obama made the decision to put Hillary Clinton in charge of America's foreign policy. I have visited the laid-off factory workers and the communities crushed by our horrible and unfair trade deals. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I have joined the political arena so that the powerful can no longer beat up on people who cannot defend themselves. Nobody knows the system better than me. Which is why I alone can fix it. The irresponsible rhetoric of our president, who has used the pulpit of the presidency to divide us by race and color, has made America a more dangerous environment than, frankly, I have ever seen and anybody in this room has ever watched or seen. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me. And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you. Anyone who endorses violence hatred or oppression is not welcome in our country and never, ever will be. We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration, to stop the gangs and the violence, and to stop the drugs from pouring into our communities. USA, USA, USA. History is watching us now. We don't have much time, but history is watching. It's waiting to see if we will rise to the occasion and if we will show the whole world,
Kelly, let me put you on hold,
that America is still free and independent and strong. And we will make America great again. God bless you and good night. I love you.
Powerful. We do have a call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Good morning, Roger. And what did you think?
Oh, it's just making me sick. It's making me sick.
What's making you?
He's a con man. He's just conning
us. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How is he a con man?
He's talking about being for the little man and this and that. And he's not. He's always been against the little man. He's always, if he doesn't get his way with a small business or employees down at the bottom, he just sues them. And he knows he has more money, so he'll win.
Wait a second. It's a chapter and verse. Give us an example.
Oh, the University of
come on. Your example is he's against the little man because he got sued for university. Look, are you really going to back Hillary and her this continuation of this insane?
No, I'm not. I don't like Hillary.
She's awful. She's like some mythological beast.
Hold on a second.
Can you imagine if you're traveling on a ship and there's a shipwreck and you wake up and you're on an island alone with Hillary? You would definitely think of ending it right there.
Like I said, let's not get off the track. I'm talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking, he's a con man. Just like the airliner that went down in Mediterranean Sea up there. That right away he got up and he says, oh it was 100% terrorist. It was 100% terrorist. Why did he say that? Because he was conning us. He knows that if it is, he's going to look great. And if it wasn't terrorism, well, everybody's going to forgive him.
Right. Look, the guy had his night last night. You're dumping on him. Anything else?
I know. He's a con man. That's all I wanted to say. He's conning us all.
Thank you. God bless you for your call. Have a wonderful day. All right, folks, let's see. All right, I got a clip here from Michael Moore. Michael Moore. He lived up to his name. He's more than 350 pounds. Anyway, check him out.
To their ears. Of course. And I think one of the things I've been concerned about this week is that we're all sitting, as you refer to, the bubble. We've been sitting in our bubble, having a good laugh at this total, as you said, shit show.
Pardon me. Let's take. I didn't vet that one first. That's Bill Mayer. We'll be right back.
And
the only person that I heard give a thumbs up to Cruz trashing Obama or Trump was Glenn Beck, speaking of which. But here is Cruz saying, I'm not going to be forced like a servile puppy dog to a man who slandered my wife. Check this out. This is the real Ted Cruz, who apparently is not ready for prime time.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and thank you for speaking from your heart. I will tell you, when I stood on that debate stage, and they asked every candidate there, If you don't win, will you support the nominee? I raised my hand, and I raised my hand enthusiastically with full intention of doing exactly that. And I'll tell you, the day that pledge was abrogated, the day that was abrogated was the day this...
Abrogation, by the way, is when a law is either superseded or canceled. Big words from the master lawyer, Ted Cruz.
It became personal, and as I said at the time, and I'm not going to get into criticizing or attacking Donald Trump, but I'll just give you this response. I am not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father. And that pledge was not a blanket commitment that if you go and slander and attack Heidi, that I'm going to nonetheless come like a servile puppy dog and say thank you very much for maligning my wife and maligning my father.
I find that actually that is so entertaining. I want to use it as my ringtone. I just think that it proves when you remember, and Donna, I know you're probably listening, but when Donna said and called and said that Cruz was a statesman, and I said, we've got to wait before we see him. Donna, do you still think he's a statesman? I don't see anything statesmanlike in his position. I mean, I will keep my word unless someone insults, says my wife has a big nose, and then all bets are off. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. All right, but anyway, I can understand the sentiment of it, but here is Krauthammer.
The Standard and a Fox News contributor, A.B. Stoddard, the associate editor for Real Clear Politics and syndicated columnist, Dr. Charles Krauthammer. Welcome, you guys. A little special report panel in the morning here. Charles, what do you think? What's going on here?
Well, last night, what Cruz delivered was the longest suicide note in American political history. And this morning, he added an addendum. Because last night, he was, the theme of it was that as a matter of principle, as a conservative, as a constitutionalist, he could not endorse Donald Trump. And at the beginning of this thing he did this morning, he said, I'm going to watch and wait and see whether I can support him. And then he lost it. And then he blew it. We just saw that clip. You could see him. It was towards the end of this event, and he was asked a question about endorsing, and he said, you could see him calculating, should I really give the reason? And then he said, this is all personal. This is about the wife and the father. And then what that does, because he's a calculating guy, what that does is it totally undid the great political, philosophical reasons he offered last night. That was already in jeopardy because, remember, for the first 6 months of the campaign, he was especially nice to Trump. He was drafting in the wake of the head car, and everybody else was attacking Trump over the McCain comments. So he didn't. So this was not a matter of principle. It was already in question as of last night. But as of this morning, I think he's destroyed his political career right there.
Yeah, the other question becomes...
I agree 100%. I mean, I think he's destroyed himself. To get up in the convention and say, I can't support you, and because I'm a constitutionalist and you're not, but I allow anybody who is one of my delegates to vote your conscience and choose a constitutionalist, and then come over later. And that's what I was saying. I wanted to hear his reasoning, and it's exactly what Krauthammer said that I had said yesterday, which was that if that's really the reason that nobody can say your wife has a fat butt or that she, you know, that she didn't pay her parking fees 3 years ago, in my opinion, you're not fit for office. I mean, if people can get you off track that easily. But here's Rush Limbaugh, which this is a brilliant point here.
One of the crucial things here that we have now learned about this is that Trump knew what Cruz was going to say, right? That story has been reported that Cruz's speech was submitted. Cruz has said that the Trump people knew what he was going to say. The Trump people say that they knew what Cruz was going to say. And everybody involved let it happen. So what is the end result of this? There are two overwhelming inarguable results from this. Number one, we're going to have a ratings bonanza tonight. And number two, we may be seeing the actual first threads of unity build behind Donald Trump because of this. And it could well be that Trump has pulled off a masterful move letting all this happen. And I think that the argument that he may have done that is sort of rubber stamped by the fact that he walked in to that convention hall at the exact moment that he knew Cruz was going to be unloaded on by the audience. He walked into that convention hall last night to his box at the exact moment that it was going to become, it did become clear to everybody that Cruz was not going to endorse. Now, the key to all this is what has been reported, that everybody involved knew what Cruz was going to say, and thus everybody knew that Cruz was not going to endorse. Now, I have warned everybody time and time again, you cannot judge, analyze, watch this convention through the regular political prism. In this case, what I mean by that is in a normal convention, that speech would never have been allowed. Ted Cruz, even if he had been invited to give that speech and had submitted that speech to the campaign, and the campaign had seen that speech and had discovered that there wasn't going to be an endorsement. And in fact, not only was there not going to be an endorsement, there was going to be something maybe even worse, and that was an intimation from Ted Cruz that he might not vote for Donald Trump.
Now, that is brilliant analysis, and it was kind of, when it was like wrestling, and I know that Donald Trump has been involved in professional wrestling a little bit. As a promoter, when he walked in, it was true. It was like, wow, this is weird. And then I thought, well, the reason that Trump was there, because in case Cruz didn't give him his blessing, it takes it up even a higher level, though, if they knew it and came in. And it is a masterpiece, if that's how Trump played this out, because he got his worst critic to commit national Harry Caray. It's brilliant. It's a masterstroke. That's why I think he can beat Hillary. We'll take a break here and finish her up. 7:54 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 Cali, going to 5:23 1450. Get your opinion on the record, even if it's totally mistaken, and you're still in love with that ugly hag, Hillary. It looks like Hillary's going to choose Tim Kaine, senator from Virginia, former governor, I think. Now, here's a last clip on Cruz, who just committed Harry Caray. There, at least three professional politicians were destroyed by Trump, an amateur. That's hilarious. This is from MSNBC.
That was Texas Senator Ted Cruz. They're defending his convention speech today in an appearance before the Texas delegation, an effort to quell the firestorm of criticism that he's been receiving for failing to endorse Donald Trump. I'm joined now by Rick Tyler, former campaign spokesman for the Cruz campaign, also an MSNBC political analyst. I know you spent some time with the senator yesterday before he gave that speech. Did you get the sense that he knew what was coming? Did you get the sense that he knew there was a good chance that was going to go over like a fart in church?
Oh, sure. But that's it. I mean, look, Cruz.
Wow. We'll take you out here. Thanks for tuning in. I'll take you out with a little bit of Sax Colossus, one of the great jazz albums of all time. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope it cools down. I hope it rains. But it's been high spot of my whole day, spending some time with you this morning. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE. We'll see you back in 2 days. Ciao.